Telework. Thinking about that more as the snow begins to approach Washington, telework can save hours in time spent commuting, make life a little easier for many, but working away from the office can also have unintended consequences. Those away from the office can find themselves disconnected from coworkers, maybe connected to the refrigerator, while those left in the office might find themselves alone without a coworker to turn to. Jerry Buchholz is a strategic business development advisor for FMP Consulting and former chief human capital officer at NASA. She joins me now. Jerry, good to have you on.
Thank you so much. And it's true about the refrigerator. It calls your name when you're sitting at home working.
And you thought it was just humming, but it's actually a secret code that says, come and eat.
Yes, it does, especially the ice cream in the freezer.
All right, so we know that there are some downsides to telework, but would you say that they seem to be maybe gaining more prominence now as we get deeper into this, into the, I guess, the regularization of telework?
I think early on, people felt that the big barrier to telework and virtual work environments, I think is how we are thinking about it now, were the technology barriers. And now that we've overcome many of those, I think people are starting to realize that the true barriers to virtual work environments and successful virtual teams are really more social and cultural. And they're just starting to get their hands and their brains and their actions around sorting through what that all really means so that, you know, you can power your way through to having really effective virtual teams that have a work experience that's substantially similar to an in-the-office work experience.
And so how do you do that? That sounds like you're talking about things like video teleconferencing.
That's correct. And I think one of the main things that you have to remember is that you manage a virtual team very differently than you manage an in-office team because serendipity has been taken out of your toolbox. And as a manager, I do think that we rely very much on that water cooler, even though the water coolers don't really exist anymore, but the concept that people will gather spontaneously, interact with each other spontaneously, and that there will be rewarding social interactions and friendships that form as a result of that. When you take that out of the mix, you have to recreate that in some form or fashion for the people who work for you. And this is not something that you are hatched from an egg knowing how to do. You have to really gain those skills and practice them, as do the employees.
And what are some of those skills? I mean, when you mentioned serendipity, that can also speed up decision making, because if you have something that needs to be resolved, if the person is right there or your boss is right there, you can resolve it right then and there. But if there's the intervention of email or a phone call that's kind of asynchronous communication, it might take longer.
That's true. And one of the things, I mean, we often talk about the open door policy. Nothing wrong with having an open door policy on Skype or FaceTime or any other virtual collaboration tool where you say, okay, my Adobe Connect room is open at 10 o'clock. Anybody on the team who wants to chat with me then, let's all join in and have a conversation. You can use tools and other technologies to create that same type of environment. When I was at NASA, we actually ran, we called it Mars Month, Make Anywhere a Remote Site. We shut down my office for the entire month. No one was allowed to come into their offices. And everyone really had to sit down and figure out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to maintain my relationships and sustain those relationships over the months when I cannot rely on my usual traffic patterns to make that happen? And we learned some really interesting things about the value of collaborative space, and some really interesting things, too, about when people can work from wherever they choose, what do you need to do about your own work environment so that they will choose to come there?
All right. And so how did it work out when you were shut for a month?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I took my office and I turned it into a collaboration lounge and put a bunch of big tables and power strips in there. And what we discovered was that people who actually came into the office would gather in there, and it was the one-room schoolhouse effect. They would sit, they would do their work, they would chat. And the people who were in the office actually reported improved social interactions, because instead of going to a meeting and then going back to their office and sitting by themselves, they were gathering working in these social gathering places. So that was kind of a very nice thing to do. And people picked days of the week, and whole teams got together and said, okay, on this particular day of the week, we're just going to all come in so that we have the chance to see each other and chat with each other and catch up with each other. And those were spontaneous decisions that they made on their own in an effort to make sure that they stay connected. And I guess that gets to my second point, and that is that work is not something that happens to you. It's something that you need to actively engage in order to find it enriching and enjoyable. So employees share some responsibility here to make sure that they are arranging their work day so that they have the social actions and interactions that they seek in order for their work to be rewarding.
We're speaking with Jerry Buchholz. He's Strategic Business Development Advisor for FMP Consulting and former Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA. And for those at home, then, they really need to make an effort to not just be in isolation, but really join in those conference calls, if that's the case, or text message people and make sure they generally stay connected.
Yes, and I would say if you're a person who normally takes a break from work at 10 o'clock and goes down and gets a cup of coffee, and along the way you see all kinds of people and you chat with people or you run into the same people in the coffee shop doing the same thing every morning at 10 o'clock, and that's a part of what makes your workday enjoyable, start scheduling virtual coffee breaks where you have a conversation, a FaceTime. It's really nice to see people's faces. So whatever technology you might have available to you, and have that virtual coffee break with people so that you can create the same sense of warmth and engagement that you get from the in-person office interaction. And the second choice you might make is to go into the office on days when there are lots of activities going on in the office and really make a point to see a lot of people and engage with a lot of people and not to go too long without having those interactions. Managers should set up those kinds of meetings as well to give people the opportunity to do that.
Now, the cliche about teleworking is people were working in their pajamas or worse. What have we learned about how you should comport yourself even when you are at home? In terms
that
of
is one of the most, yeah, that's one of the most important things. And I've been teleworking a lot lately myself. I get up at the same time I always get up. I get ready. I put on not as fancy clothes as I would wear into the office, but I put on real clothes. And I set my work day up and I engage in work the same way I would as if I were in the office. And all of the research out there that you see on this issue says that it is so very important for a person's mental and social well-being to actually continue to engage in those routines and rituals of work, even if they are working from home. And people shouldn't think of, truthfully, working from home as working from home. They should think of it as working from another location and really make an effort to, get up, put on those nicer clothes, make a lunch date, do whatever it is that you want to do. But it really is true that makes a very big difference in terms of people's emotional well-being.
And it sounds like even for someone who is a permanent teleworker, that doesn't necessarily mean 5 days a week every working day of the year. But it sounds like you really need to get in, at least occasionally, to have that in-person see and be seen with the mother office.
I think that managers can help with that as well. In my office, we did have one day a month where all employees either had to be in the office or on leave. And that's the day that we had our big all-hands meeting, and we made sure to schedule birthday cakes on that day and various other social activities, and we organized our month around that particular day. And even for those people who teleworked really, really regularly, knowing that there was a day when they could have lunch with their friends and teams would go out to lunch and that kind of thing. And that's where that employees accepting responsibility and managers creating an environment that facilitates all of this social interaction happening becomes really, really important.
And in that month where you were not in your office and everyone used it to collaborate, did they avoid scratching the mahogany?
Scratchy. I'm not understanding what scratching the Oh, you mean in my office? My office had no mahogany. What are you talking about? I work for the government. It was Formica all the way.
All right. Jerry Buchholz is a strategic business development advisor for FMP Consulting and former chief human capital officer at NASA. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Have a great day.